Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, good evening, everybody. So glad you're here. We are at Healing Class, and we're going to have a good time tonight. I believe the Lord's going to speak to you. He spoke to me this afternoon, and I prayed for you, and I just know that God's going to get to you what you need beyond what I could say. He has a way. There's an anointing on the scriptures, on the Word of God, and so something's going to register on you. And whether it's right now or as you're going to bed or when you wake up in the morning, the Word of God is powerful. It's medicine. It's everything. And so, okay, let's grab our Bible, if you have a Bible or device, and let's just say this. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. Do you love to read your Bible? I really love to read my Bible. So good. Okay, so I want to pray first, and then we'll jump into our scriptures, okay? Father, I thank you so much for tonight. There'll not be another night like tonight. And I just ask you, Father, to speak to each person where they need to hear from you. And I thank you, Lord God, for the encouragement and comfort and the medicine that's in the scriptures, Father, that we will be taking tonight. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your help to each one here, and that they'll leave strengthened, oh, and knowing that you love them, you're a healer, you're with them, and they can come through anything. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm just going to recap a little bit here of what I taught last time. I'm going to use some different passages, but I talked about faith, having faith. The Bible talks about our faith can make us whole. I mean, our faith, what we trust in, what we believe in, can do great and big things. So I'm like, I want to understand it more. I want to just know more about faith. And so I began looking up some things. I'm going to go over another little passage, a Hebrew word for faith called emunah. If we understand it, if we see what it is, if we see where it is in the scripture, it's like, it's not so hard for me to grow and have actually a greater faith than I've had before. And you know, we all get weaker in some areas. We have to strengthen ourselves and grow in these areas. So there's a Hebrew word for faith called emunah. And that word is translated a faith or a belief. And it's a conviction or perception of truth that goes past your reason. So it's not so much what you understand, it's what you do. It's actually a verb, it's an action word. It conveys the idea of faithfulness and reliability that we have in God. It signifies an active trust in the goodness of God and expresses loyalty to his will. I love that active trust in the goodness of God. And it also is another way, another thing you could say, it's like support of God. I'm in support of God, what he says, what he does, and what he can do. I support that. One picture of that, does anybody here remember Moses when Aaron and Hur held up his hands? Remember that? There's in the Old Testament, they supported him. They were in support of Moses. So when we have an active trust and faith in God, I'm in support, I'm relying on God and what he says above everything else. So my faith in God there. Now, I also think with this Hebrew word, it's, and I love pictures. That's how I learn visuals and things like that. So that's how I'm going to share with you, because that's the way the Lord teaches me. But here it says, it's interesting, the root word of the Hebrew word emunah means a craftsman, an artisan, or a practitioner. I think that's fascinating because an artist, a musician, you have an innate talent or ability. But if you don't practice, if there's not effort put behind even a gift or a talent that someone has, it will go undeveloped. But you can actually develop a craft. You can develop an artistic gifting that you have. You can develop in your faith. It's like a muscle. It can get stronger. It can get greater. And I love that thought. So if you're like, I don't have that much faith, or I don't have great faith and I want great faith, the faith you do have can actually grow. You can develop into someone who has a big trust in God, that has a lot of action in your life, that my life, I trust in Him. Now in Habakkuk, Old Testament, things aren't going too good. And God speaks to Habakkuk and He says, the just shall live by his faith. So you're going to be living actually by what you believe and who you trust in. And there's one translation that says, the just shall live by their faithfulness, faithfulness to God. And I like that thought because I can be faithful to God. I can support everything of who God is. I can trust in Him. And so that's a lot of what I want to encourage you here, that this can grow. Now when, I had a little measuring cup. I don't have it with me. I had a little measuring cup. The Bible says in Romans 12:3 that when we know Him, God has given to each of us a measure of faith. You have a measure of the God kind of faith in you. The God kind of faith that speaks to things and sees big things happen. You have a measure of it already in you. And in Luke 17, it says, all you have to have is faith as little as teeny weeny as a mustard seed. To the natural eye, a mustard seed is so tiny. That's all you need to see a mountain move, there's one scripture, or to see a big tree plucked up from the roots. I love that. You already, when you know the Lord, have a measure of the God kind of faith in you. So you have enough in you to believe for something big. And all you need is something very little to move a big problem, big mountains of symptoms, things that nobody else could do for you, but you can, because you all you need is a little bit to move something big or to see a diagnosis plucked up off of your life. You know, there can be diagnoses where it's like, your life doesn't match that at all. That's going to be removed off of you. God wants to do that. He can do those things. He can do things that you need done in your soul. If you need healing in your soul, if you've had cracks in the foundation of your life and your heart that have hurt you, God can fill in those places. He is amazing. He's a big God. He's a great God, and He's extremely compassionate. And there's so many reasons why we can trust and believe and support Him and see Him move in our life. And I believe you're going to see some great things, because the fact that you're even here right now, your faith is growing. There's an anointing on the scriptures when we read, and your faith grows. You're faithful to come to these classes and all, your faith can grow. When you read your Bible in the morning and you pray, your faith can grow. You're exercising, you're developing your trust and faith in God. I love who He is, and He does these things. As we get to know the Lord, you start to go, okay, this isn't that hard. And it makes problems and symptoms and diagnosis look smaller. You're like, that's not too big that's not too great for God to work in my life. He can do anything. And I believe he's going to do all kinds of wonderful things. So now I'm going to share with you tonight a passage where Jesus calls healing the children's bread. We're going to see a great faith, and we're going to see where Jesus calls healing the children's bread. I love this because I think my most favorite thing to make is bread. I love making bread. I love eating bread. I love everything about bread. Okay, it's just, is it great or what? It's wonderful. You put all kinds of things on it. It just works for everything. I love bread. But I grew up in an Italian family too. And there was always bread on the table. My mother always had bread on the table, plenty of bread. And she used to tell me when she was a little girl, they didn't have as much food. They'd get one little bowl of pasta because there were six kids, one little meatball, but they could have bread. And there were no snacks. So if they were hungry, if there was a piece of bread, usually there were just pieces of bread. My grandmother used to go get a piece of bread. And if there's anything in the garden, you can have that too. If not, there was nothing else. But there was always bread on the table. And when my mom remarried, she remarried an Irishman. And I remember when I sat with his family, they had bread slices. They take the sandwich slices and just stack them up and put them on a plate. I'm like, I'm good. I'll eat any kind of bread. That's good. I do. I love bread. But I love that Jesus says healing is the children's bread. Now, think about it. A lot of times you go to a restaurant and bread just comes with a meal. I'm like, yes, I'll take the bread. Put it, lots of it on the table. They don't even have to pay for it often. And so I like those especially that it's like there's bread, there's healing on God's table for you. And there's plenty of it. I think we have to get to the place where we go, pass a biscuit, please. I am ready for some bread. I need some bread over here. And I wanna share with you a passage you're gonna totally be familiar with out of Psalm 23. Now, Psalm 23, we often know Psalm 23. A lot of people, we can quote that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's with me. His rod and his staff will comfort me. He prepares a table before me. In the presence of mine enemies, he prepares a table before me in view of what's tormenting me. God prepares a table, and we have to partake of his table. Now think of someone preparing a table for you. You go into their house, they have prepared food for you, and usually there's bread, right? So tonight, we're going to take the bread from the table. Healing is the children's bread. The Lord's like, there's plenty of it. You can have healing from absolutely anything. There is nothing too hard for God. And he is not withholding from you in any way at all. Now, I'm going to share with you a story of a woman. She's called a Syrophoenician woman. She's Greek. She doesn't know God at all. She grew up not knowing God, far from anything Jewish. In fact, this region is a really ungodly area. They do idols, all kinds of things. And so she has no promise of God, nothing to do with the Jewish understanding or Bible, anything like that. And she is considered to have great faith. Now, I want to read her story on two accounts. Wherever you see in the scriptures where, hey, that story's in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, and it's the same story, it's good to read both of them because they're different points of view. Matthew's like, when I was standing there, this is what I saw and this is what I heard. Well, Mark's standing in a different place and he's like, this is what I saw and this is what I heard. So you have two eyewitnesses. I love to read them both and put them together because it just makes a whole picture. Really, really sweet. So on the back of your sheet, I have Matthew. Do you have this one? I'm going to read that one first. And I'm going to stop and we're going to talk about it a little bit and then we're going to go to Mark. Now, I believe God is going to speak to you as we read the scriptures. He's going to talk to you and give you what you need, okay? Let's step into the story. When we're reading the scriptures, I like to ask myself questions. I like to think of where I am in a story, what I need to do, what I need to learn to get the same answers that God here. She gets a huge answer, a huge healing, or you could say deliverance for her daughter. Here we go. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went out from there, and he departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region, and she cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, she doesn't know the Lord. She's not Jewish. So she's saying, have mercy on me, O son of David. She doesn't know him. She's more than likely just repeating words, parroting something she heard. She's just saying this. We can do that sometimes. So hold that thought in there. In verse 23, and he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. She's crying after us, or she is really getting pretty annoying here. And she keeps bothering us. She could have at that point gotten pretty offended. She could have walked away right there. Her first attempt, which is more than likely parroting because she doesn't know the Lord. She probably more than likely heard that Jesus was a healer. Maybe someone said, I just heard that some blind people got healed. And really, how did they get healed? Well, they just said, son of David, have mercy on me. So she's like, I'll just say that. Maybe that will work. That doesn't move anything. And sometimes we have to ask, Lord, what do I need to do to hear from you? What are some things? Am I approaching you properly? We're going to see her position herself differently. In verse 24, but he answered and he said, this is Jesus, I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was sent to the Jews. That was Jesus' mission, and he always stays on mission. He's like, I'm supposed to take care of the children of God. I'm actually not sent to take care of anyone outside of the children of God. So he stays at, and look at what she does in verse 25. She comes and she worships him. So she positions herself differently. When I worship, I'm saying, God, you're greater, and I'm not, and I really need help. And she's like, I just need help. So she takes away just a form, what somebody else did, a pattern of what somebody else said that maybe worked for someone else, and she gets real before the Lord herself. And she's like, I just need help, and I worship you. And in that positioning, let's see what happens here. Jesus answers her and said, it's not good or right for me to take the children's bread. So that's what he's calling healing and deliverance, and throw it to the little dogs. Whew. Okay, another opportunity for her to possibly walk away, to get offended. Did you just say little dogs? Yeah, he did. But you have to understand, in that day, most dogs were ownerless. They didn't belong to anybody. But there were little dogs that apparently were allowed in the house at times that would be more like a pet, because look at what she says in verse 27. And she says, yes, or one translation says, truth, Lord. Yet even the little pups or the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Look at how she repositioned herself again. Even the little pups. If I could come in your house and come under your table, just a crumb is all that I would need. Jesus answered her and said, woman, great is your faith. And that's why we want to look at her. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour, at that moment. This is a woman who doesn't know God. She just wants healing. But she comes away knowing the healer. She puts herself under the master's table. He becomes her Lord. And she receives even more than just healing. But you know the beauty of it, when you make Jesus your Lord, healing comes together with salvation. It's part of salvation. Real sweet in the positioning. Sometimes it's like, I need healing. You know, you're the healer. I love you, Lord. I'm going to just come before you honestly, not doing something that somebody else did or saying something somebody else said, or just kind of randomly grabbing a scripture. I need your help. And Jesus speaks a word to her that she walks on. She goes back to her daughter. She believes that word, a crumb. I like to think of it a verse. One verse. One verse God gives you can pull you out of anything. This girl is tormented, but not anymore. One crumb, one verse. So this is Matthew's viewpoint as he's looking at it. This is what I heard. This is what I saw. Let's see what Mark saw and heard. And when you put them together, it's like taking your favorite recipes and mixing it together. And you're like, it's perfect. It's just great. Fills in all the blanks here. Okay, so in Mark, and starting in verse 24, from there, he arose and went to the region of Tyre. This is Jesus and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit, so we see here that the demonic tormenting thing she was dealing with was an unclean spirit, she heard about Jesus. See, so she heard about him, probably heard he healed somebody, listened to how they got healed, and thought, I'll just say the same thing. Son of David, have mercy on me. But it didn't mean anything to her. She wasn't connected to God. She's just repeating a phrase. But she doesn't really know him. When you come to know him, oh my goodness, receiving from him isn't hard at all, because you begin to realize how much he loves you and cares for you. She hears about him, and she comes, and she falls at his feet. Here we go, worship. She positions herself. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She just would not stop. That's important. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, because it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Okay, so he's like, the children need to eat first, and he's calling children's bread, that's healing and deliverance, to throw it to the little dogs, remembering that dogs were ownerless. And she answers and says, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under, look at the positioning, the table, eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying, what saying? For what she just said there, truth, Lord. Yet the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumb. For that saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. She believed that word, Jesus said to her. She went home. When he said that to her, he gave her a word. She goes home, and when she came to the house, she found the demon had gone out and her daughter was lying on the bed. She's considered to have great faith because she's like, truth, Lord. Isn't it fascinating how the two different viewpoints kind of fill in some blanks and help you understand a little further what faith looks like, how we can grow in faith? Now, God is, he's so good. And he loves us very, very much. And when you know him as Lord and Savior, you're a child. You're a child of his. And bread is on the table. He's prepared a table for you, for you to partake of. I kind of think it's funny how she's saying, even the little dogs, the little pups will take a crumb. I can't help but think of Alan with our little poodle. It's really his poodle. This poodle loves Alan so much. And sometimes I'll make bread because I love to make bread. And he gives the bread. I was like, no, that's for us. You're giving it to the dog. And he's like, okay, well, just a little bit. I'll give it. I was like, you're giving our bread to the dog, you know. But it's so funny here. He's like, even the dogs get little crumbs. I'm telling you, every time he'll eat a sandwich or something, every little piece, I'm like, there it goes. There it goes. It goes right to the dog. You know, the little crumbs. He loves that little dog. It's been part of our household. You could tell she made herself part of the household of the Lord. I'm in the house, a little pup. She totally changed the imagery of the dog. In fact, I like that she recontextualized everything about the dog in saying, I'm not stray. I choose to come underneath your table. You're the master, and the master feeds the children and anything, any other pup in his care. It's just a beautiful sense of, and all you have to do, I need you. I love you. I don't know everything. I can't do everything. And to the best of my ability, help me grow in my trust and faith in you. And he will. He'll show you. He'll help you. I have found in my life to be very honest with the Lord. Be very real with the Lord. Be very genuine with him. Be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. That's actually my last point, but it's the first one now. It's you want to be genuine. The Bible talks about a genuine faith, which means they're a fake faith. So something that looks like someone's trusting, but you need a true trust in God. And how you do that is by growing your faith. So how does our faith grow? How do we do this? Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When you come to this class, you are growing your faith. The measure of the God kind of faith that is in you is actually being strengthened and growing every time you come to a class, if you come to a Tuesday class, if you come to church, if you get up in the morning and you read your Bible and pray, you are growing and exercising and developing in your faith. And when you do that over time, I'm telling you, you could be reading something over and over and over again, and then it drops in you. Like you'd put a coin in a gum machine, and it drops. You know what I'm talking about there? You put a coin in there, it drops. Something will drop on the inside of you, and you heard from the Lord. And something can lift off of you, and God can speak into you. But I'm telling you, we are people of repetition. We need to hear things over and over again. And before you know it, your faith can grow, and God can lead you right to where you need to be focusing. The scriptures He has for me are scriptures that are different that He would give to you. You may be dealing with something different. When my heart was broken, I had different scriptures than I was believing for my eye to be healed. When I was believing for my pancreas or believing for my foot, there were different verses that God gave me that nobody else gave me. Someone can give you a scripture, and that's good. But I want to encourage you. You want to hear from the Lord yourself and grow in your faith. What do you need to hear? What do you think this woman heard? She heard about Jesus. Now, it says in Acts, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. When God is with and in something, healing can take place. Jesus did good and will always do good. Now, I'll tell you, I hear this too often. I'll hear people talk about, well, I'm kind of mad at God. Can I encourage you? Don't do that. You need Him. When you're mad at someone, you kind of are a little miffed and you stay away from them. You don't need to stay away from God. You don't need to stay away from reading your Bible or praying. Don't be mad at God. What you're going through isn't from Him. You can use it to learn, but He didn't give it to you to teach you. What happens is we humble ourselves enough to go, oh, what happened, Lord? What did I do? And so we learn from some things because of the humility that we bring before the Lord. But He never caused it. He takes it off of us. Remember, again, this scripture, God anointed Jesus, and we see God the Father in Jesus. He did good. He healed all. And it is in His heart to heal you. It is in His heart for you to take a big loaf, big piece of bread, big loaves, and partake of that and receive healing in your body, in your whole life. Because what you're dealing with may not be the only thing that needs to be sweetened up in your life that you need healing from. And it won't be the only thing. I've had to believe God for healing over and over and over again. We always will, but I have found God to be faithful. And I'm like, I'm staying with Him. I'm in support and faithfulness of God and who He is. He's reliable. I can trust in Him. And so I'm going to continue to grow in my trust and faith in God. And I'm going to speak it all the time. When you do, again, you're growing your faith. All of these things are not too hard to do. Isn't that amazing? I love that. I love that. It's not like a fixed, you know, quality someone has, you know, I'm like, well, you have blue eyes, I have brown. I can't change that. But I can change how strong my faith and trust in God can be. And you can too. And we can all get strong. You're getting stronger right now underneath the Word of God. The Word of God has an anointing on it. It will strengthen you. It'll heal you. That's why I'm like, I love to read my Bible. Now we notice with her, And God speaks about her faith. She hears about Jesus. She comes. We see that she makes amazing adjustments. She just makes great adjustments. And sometimes I've found I have to adjust. I have to position my heart before the Lord in a different way, in many different circumstances. But it's always good when we do. But another thing I love about her, she's persistent. She keeps enduring she perseveres. Now, in Hebrews 6:12, it says this, "Don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience," or that word would be perseverance or endurance, "inherit the promises." So you have to stay in there. You have to persevere. You have to keep going. And the enemy will always put pressure on you to quit. Sometimes you'll get a bad report. Quit. You'll have horrible feelings or a lot of symptoms. Quit. No. Don't quit. You want to persevere. She had so many opportunities to walk away, but she would have walked away without. She didn't walk away without. She walked away with an amazing, great deliverance. And she's spoken of in here so lovingly by God. And it's an example, a pattern, an outline. This is tracing paper for us to live by and do the same thing and get the same results. Now, there's a scripture in Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. It says this, "The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back," and that word "draws back" is hupostole, and I'm probably saying that wrong. It means to shrink back or lower the sails. "My soul will have no pleasure in him." The reason why the Lord's saying this, I can't help you. I'm not happy if I can't help you. God doesn't want to see you not doing well. He doesn't want to see you in pain. He doesn't want to see you not able to sleep at night or afraid of a terrible diagnosis. That's not anything that God would have for you. But she says, "We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." We're not going to draw back. We're not going to lower the sails. And I like that. Lowering the sails. It's so easy to do. I want to encourage you, keep your sails up. Stay in there with God. Don't draw back from Him in any way. Persevere. Don't let anything just offend you. There's going to be stuff that isn't perfect, but don't let it pull you away. Stay in there close to God. In the end, you'll understand things you never did before. He'll show you things. He'll reveal Himself to you. I asked Philip Moore, who likes to sail, I said, "So tell me a little bit about sailing." And he said, "I love to sail because the sails," you probably know this, it's new to me, "they harness the wind and they actually move and propel the boat forward. The wind becomes like the energy or the power that pushes that boat, but the sails have to harness and hold that wind for it to move forward. If you put your sails down, the wind of the Lord, the breath of God, can't help you move forward. And what if you're closer to your healing than you thought? You just can't see it right now, but you get discouraged, you get overwhelmed, and we all do at times, and you just put the sails down, and you just stop reading, and you stop praying, and you stop going to class, and God can't help you. Listen, in His Word is inspiration. It's breath like a wind. He has power in His Word. If you'll keep your sails up, if you'll stay in there close to God, you can catch a wind and a breath of God that can push you to a place of healing and peace and recovery that you thought could never happen to you. But all things are possible to those who believe. Absolutely all things are possible when we believe. And to know that it's God's heart and will for us to receive anything throughout all of our life. Now, I want to encourage you. Last semester, some of you, I don't know if any of you were in here, but I had surgery on my foot. And it was much bigger than I was thinking. You know, I fell into a garbage can. I didn't think much about it at the time. It was ridiculous. You know, kind of embarrassing to realize. Then a ligament tore, it totally ruptured. And so they did surgery, And here I am logistically trying to work a bike and crutches, and it was just seemed very, very difficult to do, more so than I thought. But before I went in, I asked the Lord, Father, would you just talk to me about this? Like my foot. It's kind of ridiculous. I need help with my foot. So I got a scripture out of Acts 3 where it's spoken to of a man that's paralyzed, and it says his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And I was like, I think you're talking to me, Lord. My feet and ankle bones will be made strong. I got that verse before I went into surgery. So I went in kind of casual about it. I didn't think it was going to be as big as it was. I loved coming to healing class. I'm telling you, I was back there sometimes in a lot of pain, and I'm like, I'm receiving every word. I'm staying in here with God. I taught with my foot up. It was just kind of ridiculous, but I'm like, I'm staying in here with God. He gave me a scripture, and the scriptures are more powerful than pain. The scriptures are more powerful than an experience or what I'm going through and what's not looking like it's working. So I'm hanging on to that scripture. By May, I realized the therapist, he says to me, you might need to pray about this. I was like, oh, are you out of things to do? I can pray, but what does that mean, you know? But things weren't progressing very well. And so I could tell something doesn't seem exactly right. Then they started talking about, well, we might need to do some shots and more therapy, red light, maybe another surgery. I was like, yeah. I was like, no. So I asked the Lord, went before the Lord, like this woman. I said, what would you speak further to me, Lord? Is there anything else you would say to me? Am I missing anything? I like to talk to the Lord very honestly. And I felt impressed. Go back to Acts 3. Look at that healing passage again. So if the Lord's led you to a healing passage or a scripture, look at it, read it again, write it on a card, read it again till it's like a lemon. You squeeze all the juice out of it. So I read that healing passage, and in verse 16, it says, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong where his feet and ankle bones were strong, and given him perfect soundness. And just like that, perfect soundness was like someone highlighted it with yellow. And I'm like, perfect soundness. What does that mean? I looked it up in the Greek, and it means holokleria. I kind of thought it was a funny name. Perfect soundness, peace, wholeness. I thought, fine, I'm going to speak to this. Holokleria. Holokleria. I call it, in the name of Jesus, perfectly sound. Now, for months, May, June, July, August, September, October, not good reports. I'm like, okay. They're like, let's do some more x-rays. I'm like, okay. But I'm speaking the scripture. I'm staying in here with God. I'm keeping my sails up. I'm like, there's wind in his word. There's breath in God's word. And it can propel me exactly to the scripture. The foot has to line up with the scripture. Do you see how that goes? You got to line up with what the scripture says. So it was just a couple of weeks ago, October 10th. They're like, you know, we looked at the MRI. And we're not going to have to do surgery again. There's not another problem there. It's scar tissue. Walk that thing out. I'm like, I can do that. I've been waiting to go to the waterway and walk. I'm like, let me just walk. I'll walk it out. There's not, and it was like first good news I've had since February. But I had the report of the Lord. I had a scripture from the Lord. I'm telling you this to keep your sails up so that God's wind can move and get you right where He told you he would bring you. All of us can get there. So I go to the waterway and I take one step and I'm like, I don't care about the pain. This is holocleria. This thing is sound, strength. I take one step and the scripture comes to me. Whose report out of Isaiah 53, whose report will you believe and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And I'm like, the arm of the Lord is revealed to whoever believes the report of the Lord. Who will believe the report of the Lord? Will you believe the word that God gives you? Will you believe one verse, one crumb? It's like bread and it has the power in it, the strength in it, the breath in it to bring you complete freedom and healing. And I just stay in. This gal stays in there. I'm telling you what, her sales are up. She's like, I'll adjust. I'll do anything. Truth. Truth, Lord. And I want to encourage you here. In your life with the Lord, in, you know, seeking healing, seek to know Him, the healer. Let Him talk to you. Be very honest with Him. Again, a genuine faith. The truth will set you free. The truth in the Word of God and the truth about yourself. Sometimes I've been like, I'm not doing too good here. I just ask you to help me. She did that. She's honest. When we're honest, there's a humility and grace goes to the humble. Grace flows to the low places. If it's high, water puddles in a low place. Humility, honesty, truth about yourself and the truth of the Word of God will set you free every single time. One verse, one crumb, think of it like bread. Take it all the time, speak it all the time. You'll begin to get it in you. And watch and see what God's word does. It converts the soul. It converts the situation until the situation lines up with what the scripture says. It lines, it's like it's the scripture. My foot lined up with the scripture. And I told him, I said, well, I've been praying. You told me to pray. I said, that's what I do. I can talk to God. You can talk to God. And watch and see what he does. Now, I want to encourage you with this last little story here. There was a man, Alan's told this story before. There was a man that was coming over, I guess, from Europe to America. And he didn't have a lot of money. So he saved up everything he could to try to get enough money to get on a ship to come to America. And he did. He had just enough money to get a ticket. And so he took some sardines with him and crackers. That was going to be his food for the trip over. And as he's on the ship, he smells food and sees all the passengers go to the dining area where they had white tablecloths and they're all eating dinner. And he just go back to, I guess, his little bed and he'd eat his crackers and his sardines day after day. Well, they're about to get to America, and he's on the deck, and the captain sees him and says, you know, I try to make sure that I've seen or met everybody, and I haven't seen you in the dining hall. And the man was kind of embarrassed. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't have the money to get a meal ticket with, you know, the ticket to get over there. I just brought my own sardines and crackers. The captain said, I'm so sorry. He said, it's okay. He said, I'm so sorry. You didn't know, but the meals came with the ticket. You could have been eating in the dining room the whole time. Your salvation has healing in it. God's prepared a table before you. There's a dining hall for you. Don't not eat there. Don't not take the healing bread. It's on the table. There's plenty of it for you. So pass the bread, please. Amen. So let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for verses and scriptures and the breath of life on each person. whatever they're believing for, it is not too hard for you, and you love them, and they can trust you and trust you more than they ever, ever have. And I just thank you for what you're doing on each life, Father, that even as they go home tonight, that word is working in them, bringing about a healing and a cure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.